Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
It is 3 minutes after seven, and a very good evening to you. You are listening to Kaya 959, and you are listening to Talk with myself, Sotomayor. As usual, we are together for the next hour from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock. And of course, a very big thank you to Google Chumfupi, who is just walking out of the studio right now and having important business conversations and taking us along with her, especially if you feel like you don't quite understand the ins and outs of finances and businesses. That's definitely the show to learn. If you missed out on that show, simply go to Kaya 959 and do catch a podcast and a rewind of that show and all the other shows that we have right here on Kaya 959.
Kaya
959
on the stream, on the air.
It is now 4 minutes after seven, and of course, like I said, you're listening to myself, Sotomayor, and we are together for the next hour. It is a Monday, and normally on a Monday, we've got a doctor's appointment, and this is when we talk to specialists, and we talk about all sorts of things that are bothering us, that are niggling our bodies, and maybe sometimes we just haven't had a chance to visit a specialist, or maybe you just you don't have the know-how to deal with the problem. This show is definitely for you. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking to an ENT specialist, that's ears, nose and throat, and we had so many people that were calling in and asking all sorts of questions, and we thought, you know, it would be great to revisit that conversation because we couldn't take all the calls on air, and some of them we just had to let go. So for all those people that didn't get a chance to speak to an ENT specialist, this is your chance today. So today we are going to be joined on the line by Dr. Yaya Atia, who is an ENT specialist, and of course we're just going to be talking about what ENT is, what sort of problems you can take to an ENT specialist, and then of course open up the lines to you to give us a call if you've got any questions at all. As usual, the number remains 086-000-959. That is 086-000-959. Remember, you can SMS us 36959. We are on Twitter at Kaya On Air, or alternatively, you can DM me personally. My Twitter handle is at Sotutu, and I say this all the time, that, you know, you don't have to tell us who you are. You're more than welcome to remain anonymous as we talk about, all sorts of health problems that have to do with an ENT specialist. And then, of course, without any further setbacks, a very good evening to you, Dr. Yaya, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, evening, sir. Thanks very much for having me.
Yes, thank you for joining us. Now, Doctor, first let's start with, you know, for people that might have missed out conversation that we, a couple of weeks ago, we did talk ENT, so, but for people that might have missed it out, let's talk about what exactly is an ENT specialist. What do you deal with when you say ears, nose, and throat?
Right. So an ENT specialist is a medical specialist who deals, as you say, with the ears, nose, and throat, and particularly problems of those organs. So, for example, hearing loss, problems with the eardrum, sinus problems, tonsil problems, and any head and neck masses. So any tumors or lumps that you may have in the head and neck. Sore throats, voice problems also. And each of those, there are ENTs who have special interests in each of those areas, although most ENTs are general ENTs who will look at all of them.
Hmm. Now, let's talk about some of the more common conditions that you might treat, or some of the more common things that you might see when it comes to people that walk in through your practice.
Sure. So we can go organ by organ. I think that's the easiest way. So with the ears, the commonest problem is things like hearing loss, painful ears, difficulty in balance is also an ear problem, dizziness, that sort of thing. And then, of course, we move on to the nose. There, the commonest problem is sinusitis. So whether that is infective sinusitis, so from bacterial or viral infections, and then you also get things like allergies or allergic rhinitis, which is also a form of sinusitis. And then you also get tumors of the nose, which we get into.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also look at things like tonsillitis, which is a very common problem, especially in kiddies. Most school-going children have got some sort of problem with either an ear infection or tonsil infections. So we look at that. We look at sore throats. And then, of course, there's the various head and neck cancers that we look at. Unfortunately, those are becoming more common nowadays.
The cancers?
It's also a case that we're diagnosing them more. I think in the old days, perhaps they went unnoticed. But nowadays, we're seeing a lot more of it, and it's linked very closely to cigarettes and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. You know, Doctor, you said something very interesting that stood out for me. You said problems with balance and how that would be a problem? Because I would think that, you know, sometimes we always laugh and somebody's, you know, always falling over, that, you know, this person, you know, they have no balance. But you're saying that that could be a serious condition.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously you get clumsy people who walk into things and so on. But if you're having issues with a spinning sensation, for example, either you or yourself or the room is spinning around like you're on a merry-go-round, and that can last from anywhere from a few seconds to days in some cases, depending on the cause. So that's a problem with the balance organ of the ear. So the ear has got two parts to it. It's got a hearing part, which is the cochlea, and then it's got the vestibular system, which is the balance organ of the ear. And your brain uses that, obviously, to get information from its environment and then orientate itself in space so that you don't fall over all the time.
And, you know, when you hear the word vestibular, to me, I start thinking, you know, children, because there's a lot of things that you hear when you talk OT or, you know, when kids are babies and you're doing like little moms and babes class. That's where you hear the word vestibular system very often. But I think, you know, you don't take into consideration that that is something that, you know, it doesn't disappear with the OT, right? You talked about voice as well. Now, when you talk about voice problems, what are we talking about?
So the commonest thing we see is a hoarse voice. So either, you know, the patient has noticed it recently, or it's a chronic thing where the voice is just not the same as it used to be. And then, of course, we also see things with changes in pitch of voice and singing, you know, with the professional singers and so on. We see problems with the voice because there's voice overuse, and they get various problems with their voices.
Okay, and you'd see an ENT specialist for that?
Yeah, a lot of them do end up with an ENT specialist because they get a little nodule on the vocal cord called a singer's nodule. And it's because we see it so commonly in singers that it's called a singer's nodule.
Okay. Well, doctor, let's take some calls on 086-00-00959. We've got SJ, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, that's giving us a call. Good evening.
Evening, guys. Evening, doctor.
How are you, SJ?
Very well, and you guys?
Good, thank you.
Doctor, I'd like to ask you a question. I've been struggling with a balance issue. I've been a national gymnast for many years, and I quit a few years back. Anyway, after that, I always had this balancing problem that at random times during the day, I would lose my balance, and I had employers actually do drug tests and stuff on me because they think I'm under the influence or something, which is not the case. But yeah, I've been struggling with that. I was wondering if you have some advice or something on it. Yeah.
Okay. Before we get to the doctor, SJ, can I just ask, how long have you been struggling with your balance?
It's been about 4 years now, right?
4 years. Okay. Let's get Dr. Yaya. Doctor?
Can you tell me, is there a sensation of motion? Do you feel like you're spinning or the room is spinning?
No, doctor. Honestly, I'd be busy drinking water or walking, standing still for not long periods of time, but a couple of minutes. And then suddenly it will feel like, I don't know, I'm falling over.
So not the room spinning, you just fall over?
No, yeah, just randomly.
Okay.
Because the balance system, unfortunately, is a very complex one. You know, it's very difficult to make a diagnosis over the phone or on the radio, for example. Often these consults run into an hour, maybe more in some cases. And it's because of the interaction between the brain, the muscles, the joints, and the ear that it's such a complex system. So it's like I said, it's a bit difficult to give any advice on it over the phone, but I would advise him to see at least an ENT surgeon, if not a neurologist.
If not, it could possibly be...
To have it attended to, because it could be either or one of the two that's been affected. And in professional athletes, you know, especially gymnasts, he knows... you know, he's obviously got very good tone and balance and core strength and so on. So for them to suddenly be falling over and stuff, it is a bit of a concern. And I think probably it would be better to be assessed professionally by an ENT or a neurologist.
Mm-hmm. So, doctor, you're saying that if it's just a falling over and it's not a spinning sensation, is there a big difference to somebody coming to you and say that, you know, I feel like the room is spinning versus yeah. somebody that says I just fall over?
Yeah. So the spinning sensation is what you call vertigo. Mm. Now a lot of lay people will use the term vertigo very loosely for any type of dizziness. But medically speaking, vertigo is a very specific symptom where there has to be a sensation of motion, either of yourself or of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So if a patient is just falling over, that points to something else. It means that his joints or his muscles are not realizing where they are in space and time.
Oh, okay.
So either the muscle is giving way or the joint is giving way unexpectedly because the brain is just not getting that input anymore. We call it proprioception.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a neurological problem. It can be related to an ENT problem also, but this is why it's now a very difficult, complex problem. It's not an easy one to get us started off with, unfortunately.
Okay, but otherwise you'd say either a neurologist or an ENT specialist?
Or an ENT, correct.
Okay, SJ, I hope that helps. I know it's very difficult, you know, when you're speaking on the phone, but I hope that helps a bit.
Yeah, thank you so much, Doc. So it would be something to be concerned about, me being a national gymnast or whatever and being top with balance, and now suddenly this.
Let's find out from him. Doctor, would you say it is definitely something to worry about?
I don't know if you need to worry, but I would get it checked out just in case. Because like you say, if you're a national gymnast, your balance is probably better than most people's.
SJ, so get it checked out.
Guys, thanks so much. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for calling us, SJ. If you are just joining us, it is 17 minutes after 7. You are listening to Kaya 959, and you are listening to Talk With Myself, Sotomayor. And this evening, we are joined by ENT specialist, Dr. Yaya Atia. And he joins us to talk about all things that have to do with ENT, ears, nose, and throat. And I know we've had this conversation before, and we had so many people that were calling in that we just couldn't get through. And, of course, we're still discussing, you know, what it is. So that sometimes we just need to understand what, you know, the specialist does before people can call in. So, doctor, you know, you talked about vertigo earlier on, and obviously we had SJ, and you said it's not really vertigo what he has, right? It could be something different, something that is maybe neurological. And then you also talked about voice as well. And I think for a lot of people, when you think about voice, you know, I think it could just be laryngitis, and the voice will come back, right? But then when do you know when you've got a real problem?
So laryngitis is a very loose diagnosis. It just means inflammation of the voice box. That inflammation could be from a number of causes. The commonest cause, of course, is an infection with a viral infection, where, you know, you get a bit of a cold, up with a spiritual check infection, your voice goes for a couple of days or maybe a week, and then it comes back as the inflammation settles. However, in most things in medicine, anything that is ongoing becomes a concern. So if you've lost your voice, or if your voice quality has changed and you're becoming hoarse or whatever it is, and it's for a week and then comes back, that's fine. But if it now goes on for a month, 2 months, 3 months, that's when you need to start worrying, because your body is very good at healing itself. So if it can't sort itself out, it means you need to now get help.
Okay, well, if you're just joining us, 18 minutes, well, just 19 minutes after 7 o'clock. And of course, the voice that you're listening to is Dr. Yaya Atia, who is an ENT specialist. And today we're talking about all things ears, nose, and throat. So if you've got any issues that have to do with ears, nose, and throat, you can give us a call on 086-000-959 if you'd like to ask any questions at all that have to do with ears, nose, and throat. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we continue taking your calls and, of course, also having a chat to Dr. Yaya.
Kaya Talk, Monday to Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m.
It is 21 minutes after 7. You are listening to Kaya 959, and you're listening to Talk With Myself, Sotomayor. And this evening, we are talking to Dr. Yaya Atia, who is an ears, nose, and throat specialist. And he joins us taking all your questions on 086-000-959. We've got Kanye on the line. Kanye, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Mm.
Good evening.
Good
yes,
evening.
I want to ask the doctor regarding the sinuses.
Mm.
I've been having sinuses, but at some point I was not aware. I would just hear people speaking me through my breathing that I've got sinuses. But last year, 2019 and 2020, it became worse.
Okay.
I could not breathe through my nose. And at night, my tongue would be so dry, like I would not have even a drop of saliva on my tongue up until in the morning or whenever I am awake.
Okay.
But then as time goes on, it became better. But now my main concern is the fact that I can't, when I blow out my nose, I don't get the mucus coming out of the nose.
Is it just dry?
Yes, it's dry.
Okay.
Every morning when I wake up, then that's when I get the mucus coming out from inside the mouth, not through the nose.
Oh.
And up until whatever mucus that is stuck, I'll be very nauseous in the morning until that whatever that mucus comes out from the mouth.
Okay.
So I don't know what the problem is.
All right. Okay, let's find out. Doctor? Sure. Sounds okay. Like a very serious problem.
Hi, no, not at all.
It's not? Okay.
So there's a couple of things here. Mm. So the first thing is, the collector of the sinusitis, most lay people say sinus, but the truth is that everyone has got sinuses.
Mm-hmm.
They're normal anatomical structure, and their function is mainly to lighten the weight of your head. Because if you had a solid skull made of solid bone, you wouldn't be able to walk because it would just be too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So these airflow spaces in your face and in your head are called the sinuses, and their function is mainly to lighten the head so that you can walk normally. That being said, so when you get inflammation on the sinuses, it's called sinusitis, and there's a number of causes for it. In Joburg, especially in winter, the problem Kanye is describing is quite common, and it's related to the humidity in Joburg, mm-hmm. as well as the allergen load in Joburg. So because in winter especially, because our humidity plummets, like she describes, her nose gets very dry.
Mm-hmm.
The nose is a very funny organ. It likes to be moist all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if it dries out, it does two things. The first is that there's an overproduction of mucus.
Okay.
And that's to try to compensate for that dryness. And that's why she's now feeling that the mucus trickling to the back of the throat.
Mm.
And that's called a postnasal drip. The second thing is that because the nose is now dry, it perceives itself as being blocked. Even though if you had a look inside, it will probably be wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's dry, the nerve that sense what the airflow through it now perceives it as blocked. And so we automatically revert to breathing through our mouth instead to try to get into our lungs. And that's what causes the dry mouth and the dry throat, because the whole night she's breathing through
the mouth.
And that's obviously gyna, the saliva.
Okay.
So what she can do is two things. The first is you can try a humidifier in your room, and if you don't have a humidifier, that's fine. You can put a bowl of water in front of the heater. That will raise the humidity of the room. The second thing is that you can try a nasal spray like Salix or I don't want to give a trade name, sorry, a saline spray.
Okay.
You can buy over the counter. Just to moisturize the nose. I strongly advocate that you do not use the over-the-counter sprays like, the decongestants and the ones that you buy from the pharmacy.
So she must make sure it's a saline spray.
It's just a simple saline spray.
Okay.
That you can buy off the shelf. You don't need a script for it. You don't need anything else. And just use that for a few days and see how it goes. Now, if it persists, then you do need to get it checked out, because you could have something like chronic sinusitis,
mm-hmm.
or it could be something on top of it. So, for example, the septum could be deviated. The septum is the bone in the middle of the nose that separates
mm-hmm.
the right side from the left side. And septal deviation is quite a common problem. Just minor trauma, for example, a soccer ball to the face when you're a child could
mm-hmm.
be deviated. And then years later, you notice that, hang on, I'm having a bit of a problem. So that's surgically correctable. So these are... most of the time, it's not a life-threatening issue.
Yeah.
It's more what we call a quality of life issue. So you're miserable and you're unhappy, but you won't die from it.
Okay. So, but you would say that for now, either get a humidifier or at least try to keep the room moist and get a saline spray.
And get a saline spray and see how that goes. If she doesn't get relief from that, then either visit the GP or visit your ENT and let him have a look that there's nothing else going on.
Okay. Kanye?
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I hope that helps. We're still taking your calls on 086-000-0959, talking to Dr. Yaya Atia, who is a ears, nose and throat specialist. We've got Chris giving us a call. Chris, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, how are you, Sutu?
Good, thanks, and you?
I'm okay. Sutu, just a big one. I've been having polyps for about 4 years. I went for operation in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether the operation was successful, but I even lost my smell. I can't smell anymore. Yeah, so after operation, I could smell for about 2 weeks to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And after that, the smell went away again.
Okay.
So I just wanted to ask the doctor if I should go back for another operation or what.
Okay. All right. Doctor?
Did you continue to use medication after that?
Yes. Yes, I did. I'm still using the medication, but it's not helping at all.
The nasal spray that you're using?
Yes, I'm using Avimus and then and the prednisone tablet.
Okay. All right. So, just for the benefit of people who may not know what
polyps are,
a polyp is a little growth in the nose, and it's the lining of the nose that swells up and makes these little bulges, basically. It's a result of chronic inflammation in the nose. So we see it often with people who have sinusitis for a very long time. We're talking about years, and also in people with severe allergies.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly, there's a subgroup of people who have asthma and aspirin sensitivity who can get very bad polyps in the nose. So what the polyps do is that they grow in the nose and they block the nose up. And as the listener correctly said, it affects the smell because now the smell receptors are at the top of the nose. So if the smells can't get to the top of the nose because the nose is blocked, you can't smell.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they can't breathe because the nose is blocked. So the operation that he had is called a functional endoscopic sinus surgery. And what they do there is that they remove the polyps with a camera through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cutting on the outside or anything like that. And they open up the airway. Now, the unfortunate thing is that these things do tend to recur because the cause of the inflammation hasn't been removed. Not because the doctor failed to remove it, but because the cause is probably something like an environmental allergen, like a grass allergy, for example.
Mm.
And you can't very well go and pull out all the grass in footing.
Mm-hmm.
So the cause of the allergy is still there. And that's why I asked if he's been using his medication since the operation, because it's very important to continue to use the medicine. Because the surgery only alleviates the symptoms. It creates an airway and gets rid of the polyps. And it allows the medication to get to the areas where it's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm. But
so
doctor,
it's important to carry on with the medicine.
How does he find out what his allergy could be? Is there a way? Is there a test that you can do?
You can do blood tests. There's blood tests, and you can also do a skin prick test. So they give you a small prick in your skin with a small amount of the allergen,
mm-hmm.
and they see if you react to it. So you can have tests done to see what you're allergic to. A lot of the time, that information is not very helpful because the majority of allergies in Joburg especially are to Bermuda grass and ryegrass, which are common grasses throughout everyone's gardens, in the fields, all over the show. So it gives you some information about what you may be allergic to, but most of the time it doesn't really add any
value.
You know, you can't really do anything about all the grass.
So the thing is to just continue taking the medication.
You could try to avoid, where it becomes more useful is if you find out that you have, for example, a cat allergy or specific fungus allergy. In those situations, it is helpful. So in my practice, I generally don't do allergy testing from the get-go. I first try to treat the patient, and if they don't settle down, we then do allergy testing afterwards. To see if there's an allergen that we can avoid or, the patient can see if there's something in specific that they're allergic to.
Okay. Chris, I hope that helps you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sutu.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chris. I'm still taking your calls on 086-000-0959. We've got Lerato joining us now. Lerato, good evening, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Sutu. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Inju, Lerato.
I'm fine, thanks. And thank you for taking my call.
Mm.
I have a problem, especially when I'm sleeping. My ears itch a lot. Like, it could be a good, close to an hour at the itching. And then when I try to maybe put a tissue, there'd be fluid coming out of my ears.
Okay.
And then I would actually feel on my throat that it's really getting scratchy.
Mm.
And most of the time during the day, I would hear a buzz in my ear.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so I've been struggling with that. It's been a couple of months now.
A few months, okay. All right. Let's find out from the doctor. Doctor?
Hi, evening. Tell me, this fluid that's coming out of the ear, what color is it?
Because I'll be sleeping, I wouldn't even switch on the light, but I'd feel like it's water coming out of my ears.
So, okay, so you don't know if it's clear or?
Not at all. I haven't checked if it's clear or not, but it would be sticky water.
Okay.
And do the eyes and the palate also itch a lot?
I do. I am experiencing itchy eyes now recently and blurry vision.
So it sounds like you have an allergy, and that's what's causing the itching. Please don't put anything in your ears, okay? It's very tempting to put earbuds in the ears to scratch them or to put the matchsticks, pen caps. People put all sorts of things in their ears to try to scratch them. And the problem with using those things is that it can cause an infection of the external ear canal, and that's a very painful condition called otitis externa. So please don't do any of that. What you can do is try to moisturize the ear. You can use a couple of drops of olive oil or sweet oil to moisturize the ear canal every day. And then you probably need an antihistamine from your doctor.
Okay.
So something like lorazepam or desloratadine or terbinafine. But an antihistamine to reduce those itching symptoms. The other thing is that if the eyes are itching a lot, it might be an idea to get it checked out by an ophthalmologist because severe allergic conjunctivitis can be a problem.
Okay. So does she go to a GP for the antihistamine and then see an ophthalmologist?
I think a GP is a good place to start.
GP is a good place to start.
Yeah.
Okay. Lerato?
And doctor, does this relate the buzz with same connection with the itchiness, including the eyes?
So the noise in the ears is something called tinnitus. There's a number of causes for it. Most cases are nothing to worry about, but it's probably nothing serious. But if it is persistent, once again, we're talking about persistence.
Mm.
And if it is really, if it is bothersome for a long time, then it should be checked out.
Okay. All right. Does that help you?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Yes, it's something that I can go to the GP.
Yes.
Or it's not something really scary. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Lerato. Thank you for calling us. If you're just joining us, it is now 25 minutes to 8 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya 959, and you're listening to Talk With Myself, Sotomayor. And this evening, it is a Monday, so it's we've got a doctor's appointment. And today we've got an appointment with ENT specialist, Dr. Yaya Atia, taking your calls about all things related to ears, nose, and throat. And, of course, the number to dial is 086-000-959. We've got Zanele on the line. Zanele, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. I just have a question for the doctor. I've been having chronic laryngitis for about 6 years now, and like if I lose my voice, it will be maybe like for a week or so, and then it comes back. So about a year ago, I had an operation done. When I went to the ENT, they said I've got allergies, and on the blood test it had showed that I was highly allergic to grass, and I did the operation to take out, I don't know what it's called, polyps or something.
Yeah, I think he did say it's polyps, yeah.
Yeah, but now I'm still losing my voice. Like, I lost my voice, like, last week for 8 days, and it's just bothering me. So, like, I don't know what I need to do now. Do I need to go back to the ENT, treat the allergies, or the problem is maybe in my voice box or something?
Okay. Doctor?
So this is another one of those more complex issues. So the allergies can affect the voice box in that
if you breathe in through your mouth all the time, you can get a dry throat, and that may explain the chronic laryngitis. However, the ENT, I'm sure, would have had a look at the voice box with what we call a flexible scope.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was anything serious, he should have picked it up at that point.
Mm.
So I don't think she should ignore it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she should probably get it checked out by the ENT again.
Mm. But this is one that, you know, would need to see a physical consultation.
Yeah, I don't think this is something that can be managed by telemedicine or over Zoom or over the phone.
Mm, mm, mm. Okay, Zanele, I think you need to go back to your ENT.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, thank you very much, Zanele. I'm still taking those calls on 086-000-959, taking your DMs as well as all your tweets. At Sotutu is my Twitter handle. I'm going to read out the DMs that I've received. But before that, let's go to Shannon. Shannon, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. And you?
I'm good. I just wanted to find out from the doctor here. I've got a one-year-old daughter that when she was born, we noticed that she didn't have a uvula.
Didn't have a what, sorry?
A uvula.
Okay.
So now when, as she was growing, she used to vomit a lot through the nose. That was normally how she vomited. She didn't vomit through the mouth.
From
a baby's food. So as she was growing, she stopped throwing up with the nose as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I was becoming normal again, but now that you can actually see the throat clearly, using a lips split open.
Okay.
So I just wanted to find out, is there something we can do with surgery, or is there something we just leave, or what do we do?
Okay. All right. Doctor, first of all, I don't know what a uvula is, but I'm sure you do.
So can I just ask one question and I'll explain? Does she have water or fluid coming out of her nose when she drinks?
Only when she sneezes. That's the only time it comes through.
Right. So, okay. So the uvula is the little tongue at the back of the throat. You know, that's the uvula. So, in an absent uvula, the concern is that the child may have an undiagnosed cleft palate.
Mm.
So, I would get it checked out. Sometimes it's not obvious. You may not see the obvious cleft like, where you see a hole.
Mm.
But it may be covered by a soft membrane or something like that. And that's why she's regurgitating fluids through her nose, because she's unable to close that the nose off every time she swallows.
Mm-hmm.
So the palate is not lifting up and closing the nose adequately. An absent uvula by itself is not an issue. It's what it may be associated with. That's a problem.
And who do they see? An ENT, or who do you see for cleft palates?
An ENT is fine. Otherwise, also a plastic surgeon. Plastic surgeons also deal with it. And some maxillofacial surgeons also deal with it.
Okay. Shannon, I hope that helps. All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling us, Shannon. Let's take more of your calls. We've got Kate giving us a call. Good evening, Kate.
Good evening.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, doctor.
Oh, I think he can hear you. He can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Okay. I needed to ask about, I've been having some sore throat for a while now.
Mm.
I didn't take it seriously because I just thought it was just, a flu or something like that. So I've been taking medication, but the problem is that it's not going away.
So how long has it been?
A couple of months now, maybe 3 to 4 months. So my throat is now always red.
Mm.
So until I started getting worried, until I had chest pain, when they started to get worse, I went to the hospital. So the doctors of the hospital did checks on me, all sort of checks, they checked my heart and everything else. But they couldn't find anything. They only diagnosed me with a throat infection,
mm-hmm.
but only gave me antibiotics. So I've been taking antibiotics for the past 2 weeks. Now they're finished. But I see now my throat is starting again to be painful now. Yeah, so I'm not sure if maybe I should be worried or maybe I should go back to for more checkup.
Okay. Doctor?
So sore throat that's persistent is, of course, a concern. you know, any infection should settle down with antibiotics within a few days. If it persists for, she says now she's there for 2 months, I would get it checked out.
By an ENT specialist?
An ENT specialist is a good place to start. Look, a sore throat is a common problem. It may be something as simple as acid reflux that's given her the sore throat. So I don't think she needs to be, you know, overly concerned, but it does need to be checked out.
Okay. All right, Kate?
Hello?
Yes. Doctor says, you know, he can't really diagnose you via the phone, but maybe you should see an ENT specialist.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Kate. Let's take one more call before we go to break. Lerato, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Sutu, how are you?
Good, thanks, Njir.
I'm good, Dennis. Hi, Doc. Now, my question is, okay, I've got, like, two cases. One is my son. He's got eczema. I think he got it from 3 months, right? And now he's 8 years old, and he doesn't have the eczema anymore, but he's still getting the treatment. So that is not a problem. But however, he's got sinuses, bad sinuses. Like, you know, when you scratch your nose and you make that clicking sound in his sleep, and also when he wakes up and during the day. So I've tried all kinds of nasal sprays, but however, I haven't taken him to the ENT specialist.
You said 8 months?
He's 8 years now.
Oh, 8 years. Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
So he got eczema from when he was 3 months.
Okay.
So apparently, eczema can cause some sort of sinusitis.
Okay.
But now, because I've tried, he's constantly on Allergex and nasal spray. Mm-hmm. So I just want to know, what else can I try instead of that, because that's what he's been using.
Okay.
And also on my side, I've got about over a year ago, I had an ear infection. So to a point that I've been visiting like regularly the ENT specialist. So they've drained the wax on the one ear. On the one ear, it's a lot of wax. And on the other ear, it's where I have the fungal infection. So I keep on cleaning it with a piece of tissue, and there's sometimes like charcoal, black stuff that comes out. Sometimes it's like the fungal thing, the yellowish stuff that comes out. So I want to know, like, I need a permanent solution to this, because I can't keep going to the ENT to get it cleaned out and not having something permanent to work on.
Okay. Okay, doctor, two questions for you.
Okay. So let's deal with the second one first. The discharging ear. So that sounds like it's a chronic otitis media. So what that means is that there was an infection in the ear. The eardrum burst. And now there's just fluid draining out all the time from it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's fungal or bacterial is difficult to say without actually seeing it. Tissue is not a good thing to be cleaning the ear with. What you should be using is some cotton wool wrapped around the end of a thin stick. And use that to clean the ear at least twice a day.
It's an earbud.
No, earbuds are no good. Okay. Now you're going to get me started. Earbuds are not earbuds. Earbuds are cotton buds.
Earbuds are
for anything but the ear.
You can
use it to clean your jewelry. You can use it to clean your keyboard on your computer. You can use it for whatever you want, but you do not.
Not for the ears.
So they're cotton buds. They're not earbuds.
Okay.
So please don't put any buds in your ear.
Okay.
And unless they sound bad, you know, for your phone. she needs to clean the ear at least twice a day, morning and evening, until it's dry. So you clean it in the morning, wrap a piece of cotton around a piece of stick, clean the ear. If it comes out with that yellow gunk, take the cotton off, put a new piece on, clean it again, until the cotton comes out clean, morning and evening. Okay. Unfortunately, she would have to see the ENT because it's a chronic infection. So once the infection is under control, you need to then repair the ear jump. This is assuming that I've got the right diagnosis over the phone again. Obviously, I can't be 100% certain. So that's the ear plug. As far as the child with the allergies go, what we call this is a condition of general atrophy. So that means that they're prone to allergies.
So eczema is also an allergic condition. And it's quite commonly quite common that you get things like asthma, eczema, and allergic rhinitis, which is the sinusitis that she's talking about, occurring all together. Now, I'm not saying that the child has asthma, but the fact that he has eczema and sinusitis means that he's just a generally allergic child.
Mm-hmm.
So the treatment of the allergic rhinitis, as you correctly said, is an antihistamine-like allergics, although I don't like allergics because it can make you drowsy. You do get a non-drowsy formulation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then also a nasal spray. Now, when she says nasal, she's tried all the nasal sprays. I don't know what she means by all the nasal sprays.
Mm-hmm.
If it's all the over-the-counter sprays, those are not adequate treatment. Because the over-the-counter sprays, so unfortunately, I'm going to have to mention some names here. So the over-the-counter sprays, like the Sinucons, the Sinutabs, Iliadin, Jixin, all of those are meant for acute relief for when you have a blocked nose for a few days. So, for example, when you have a cold or a flu and a blocked nose, you can use those drugs for 5 days maximum.
Mm-hmm.
If you really have to push it 7 days, but not more than that. Because if you use it for longer than that, it causes a condition called rhinitis medicamentosa. Basically what that means is a fancy way of saying that your body reacts in the opposite way to those sprays. So instead of decongesting you, you become much more congested.
Instead,
So those medicines, and unfortunately the pharmacists or the guys who market these things don't tell you this,
mm-hmm.
that you cannot use them for longer than 5 days at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need at least a 2-week break before you use it again. So that's the one thing. So the correct spray that the child should be on is a corticosteroid spray. So what lay people would refer to as cortisone.
Mm-hmm. And for that, you need to go to the doctor?
For that, you would need a script.
A script, okay. All right, okay. Lerata, I hope that helps you.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. I just need to hear, what's the name of the nasal spray again?
You said, what is it, doctor? A cortisol?
Well, it's a steroid spray. So there's a number of them.
Okay.
So the common ones nowadays are called Fixinase or Avamis.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two common ones that a lot of people use.
Okay, so you need to get a script for a steroid spray.
Oh, all right, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. We're a bit late for our ads. I'm just going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we continue with Dr. Yaya.
Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
It is 10 minutes to 8. You're listening to Kaya 959, and you're listening to Talk with myself, Sotomayor. We literally are in the last 10 minutes of the show, the dying 10 minutes of the show. And of course, joining us on the line was Dr. Yaya Atia, who is an ear, nose, and throat specialist, and taking all your questions on 086 000 959, as well as on Twitter at Soto2 is my Twitter handle if you'd like to send us a DM, as well as our Kaya Twitter handle that is at Kaya on air, or SMS on 36959. Now, doctor, somebody sent a DM asking about bleeding nose. What causes a nose to bleed? And, you know, is it something to worry? Is it something that you're supposed to be concerned about? And how do you treat it?
So, a bleeding nose is a common problem. And the answer to the question is it really depends on the severity of the bleed and how many times a day it's bleeding, whether it stops on its own and so on. The commonest cause of a nosebleed is people picking their nose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sticking a finger up your nose is generally not a good idea because it can make it bleed. So that's the commonest cause. To treat it, most cases will respond to first aid measures. So putting pressure on the soft part of the nose, not the bony part of the top, the soft part of the nose, sustained pressure for between 3 and 5 minutes should stop the majority of nosebleeds.
Mm-hmm.
If it is persistent, you do need to get it seen to. And again, we're talking about persistence. So you see in the pattern here, anything that's there for longer than a week or two should be seen.
Is a problem.
Yeah. So and also, if you notice that it's always on one side. You know, it could be something, not necessarily serious. But in ENT, everything, there's two of everything. There's two nostrils, two ears, two tonsils. So when you have a problem on one side, we generally start to see red flags.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what about kids with small children? Is it the same? I mean, with small children as well, you know that they pick their nose a lot. But as well, if you've got kids that are prone to nosebleeds once in a while, is that, you know, especially maybe if they're sleeping, is that okay?
It's generally not a cause for concern, especially if the bleed stops on its own. If you apply the first aid and it's still bleeding, that obviously is worrisome, because then you need to take him to the doctor and see why it's still bleeding. But an occasional nosebleed, in most cases, is not serious. We come again to the climate in Joburg in winter because of the JIA. Lots of people have nosebleeds. And if you do something like a simple moisturizer, like a saline spray, that helps a lot, to just moisturize the nose, and so the bleeding gets less also.
Okay. And doctor, before we leave, as we are in the dying moments of the show, I know a question that we get a lot. Often people ask about tonsillitis. Should you get them removed? Should you not? You know, with children, is it a different story? With tonsillitis, do you have to get them removed if you're constantly getting, an infection?
No. So it depends on the number of episodes you have in 1 year or in the last 2 years. So the number we generally use for cutoff is 5, although they've now pushed it to 7 episodes per year. And that's 5 episodes or 7 episodes of documented tonsillitis. Mm-hmm. That means that you've been to a doctor, you've been treated for it 5 times. Not you had a sore throat for a couple of days and then you call it tonsillitis yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You thought it was. It has to be documented tonsillitis. The other one is also if you've had 3 or more episodes in the last 2 years, mm-hmm. or 3 episodes in the last 6 months, that's also an indication for removal of the tonsil. A lot of the time you can get away with not removing them. But in a young child, for example, so we see it mostly in young children, 3 years, 4 years old. So most of these kids will eventually outgrow it by the time they're 9 or 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that you're now looking at 6 or 7 years of tonsillitis for the child.
Sure.
Which is not fair to the child, and it's not fair to the parents, because the parents are going to have sleepless nights and the child is going to be miserable for the next 6 years.
Mm.
So in those cases, generally we advocate removing them.
And what causes that? What causes the inflammation? What causes the... Because I think you get like the white spots. What causes all of that?
Yeah. Most of the time it's infection. So it's, because these kids are all going to crash and so on, they're all sharing their germs amongst each other. In this case, sharing is not caring. So that's what it is. They just pick up an infection, and that's what causes the tonsillitis.
Mm-hmm. And the earliest age that you can remove the tonsillitis, so, I mean, you did say that it starts at about 2-3 years old.
Yeah,
can you get it removed that early, and does it affect the quality of life in the future? So will somebody say, oh, my gosh, like, will it do anything in the future for my child?
Yeah, so the tonsils do serve an immune function. However, there are other tissues in the body that serve the same function. So removing them is not a problem at all. It doesn't cause any long-term harm.
Okay.
As to the age, generally most ENTs would say from about 2 years old, you can remove the tonsils. In exceptional cases, you can remove them when they are younger.
Okay. Well, doctor, thank you so much for joining us. And I know we always have people asking for doctor's numbers, doctor's rooms. Can you give us your numbers for your practice, for your room, where if somebody needs to get in contact and wants to call an ENT specialist?
Sure. So I've got 2 rooms. The one is on the west end at Pinehaven Hospital. That one is 011-950-5945.
Yes.
And the other rooms are in Rosebank. That's 011-788-6389.
Okay.
And they can also visit my website at entdocatia.co.za.
Great stuff. Can you repeat the website again just in case we missed the numbers?
It's entdocatia. That's entdocatia. Okay. .co.za.
All right. Thank you so much, doctor. And thank you for staying the hour with us. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Have a good evening to you too. So that was Dr. Atia, Dr. Yaya Atia, who is an ENT specialist. And that brings us to the end of the show. I'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on Kaya 959. From Issa Tumea, it is good night.
Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.